Chapter 15. A Paralyzed Cancer Patient. 52-year-old Edward Straninsky was admitted to neurology with a diagnosis of paralysis of the lower spine, probably cancer of the spinal region. A biopsy was taken to establish the diagnosis from the lower spinal region, along with numerous x-rays. The biopsy indicated carcinomatosis, a condition in which cancer is widespread throughout the body. We all felt sad for this man, to face this at a relatively young age. He was under our care for 3 months, a pleasant but subdued, docile type of person. At times he was very withdrawn. With tears in his eyes, he would say, "No life left for me. I am totally helpless." I found this one of the hardest cases to look after. Having cancer then was usually fatal. Today there is more hope, but it is all a matter of where the cancer is located and how soon treatment takes place. Across from Mr. Straninsky was an airline pilot who had been injured in a small plane crash. The poor man sustained brain damage by being thrown against the ceiling of the cockpit when the plane crashed. Every visitor received a big punch in the stomach. He made no distinction between a male or a female nurse. I jumped out of his way many times when I saw it coming. Many people doubled up from this heavy blow to their stomachs. A slightly built female visitor once walked up to this patient and asked very sweetly, "Hi, how do you feel today?" "This is how I feel," he said, and hit her hard in the stomach. The poor girl cried in pain. "There, how do you feel now?" he said to her. We had to put a sign on the end of his bed and on the door to warn people about his physical aggressiveness, and talked to the doctor about it. He said, "I talked to him, and he didn't punch me." So he didn't see the need of extra medication. One day, who came into the office doubled up in pain? Our intern doctor. He was punched good and hard in the stomach. "Give me the pilot's chart," he said. We had no more painful tummies after the patient's medication was increased. Mr. Straninsky was deteriorating slowly but surely. He needed analgesics every 4 hours to keep the pain under control. In spite of all his pain, he was never irritable. It wasn't in his character to be that way. He was given a bell to ring, since to push the call light button was too painful for him. We were all tuned to his ringing the bell. Even when he passed away 3 months later, we could still hear his bell. I'll come back to this later on. One time, we had to pull him up in bed. The nurse across from me was new and wasn't aware how heavy he was to lift. I lifted him with all my strength. All of a sudden, I felt a stab in my lower vertebrae. It was so extremely painful, I had to book off sick for a few days. Even then, it was still painful. Besides this patient, there was a lot of heavy lifting involved in working this floor. Coming back to our poor patient, as soon as he rang the bell, we would rush over to see what he wanted. He demanded a lot of care, but he was always grateful, so we didn't mind at all. I think with great sadness of the day he died. It was like a candle burning out slowly. He was like a part of the family. We couldn't fill his bed with someone else, it seemed. It was vacant for a week. In our minds, we could still hear his call bell. One staff member, imagination goes a long way, heard his bell ringing, quickly ran to his room, and saw that call bell tumble across the bed and finally fall on the floor. "You are kidding me," I said. But I couldn't convince him otherwise. "I saw it with my own eyes," he insisted. I spoke to a physiotherapist about my painful back. "I have had this pain for the last 4 months already," I said. "The only solution," she said, "would be for you to transfer to another ward where there is less lifting." Would you believe the pain disappeared when my back got a rest? The next ward had little lifting. The pilot became finally a punchless patient with the help of medication. He was transferred to a rehab center close to his hometown.